Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I welcome you this morning to the Lighthouse Team Ministry Bible Study. I'm Pastor Tony, and I pray that you gain something this morning from the study of God's Word. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your Word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, so that we can gain knowledge and wisdom to be able, Father, to help others that are walking in darkness and in need, to bring them, Father, to realize that they need something more than themselves. They need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they go to Him and repent and be forgiven, Father, and start that new life and be on their way of making heaven their home. Now, Father, Father, be with us throughout the study this morning. And I'm asking this all in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to wait just a minute. Take a little swallow of vinegar water. See if we can clear this throat up a little. This hope that'll do the trick. Now, we're going to be in the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy. So now as we get started here in verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh, expressing that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils. Now, expressionly means clearly. And to depart means to apostatize. And apostasy is the deliberate and permanent rejection of Christianity after a previous profession of faith in it. Doctrines of devils, that is, doctrines taught by demons. All right, two. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There, too, is letting you and I know that speaking lies in hypocrisy, the demons of verse 1 expound their doctrines not directly, but indirectly through such human ministers. These are further described as having their conscience seared with a hot iron, and that is branded, scarred in their conscience, permanently defaced the moral life of these hypocrites, is scarred by sin as they carry around the awareness of their guilt, yet continue preaching to others. Well, we know a lot of them that's going on today. All right. Three, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received, the thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. These two examples of demonic doctrine are cited here. And the prohibition against marriage and the abstaining from certain foods. And we know that under the age in which you and I live, that is not going on. There's only one church that forbids marriage to their ministers. Their priests cannot get married, and that is the Catholic Church. And I don't know where they get that, because they don't get that from the Bible. Verse 4, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Every creature of God is good. Now, and this substantiates the remark in verse 3 that God created food to be eaten and not abstained from. And 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer, by divine statement, by the word of God, declaring all food fit for man, and by the believer's giving of thanks before meals. Food is sanctified by prayer. And this means food is set apart and reserved for consumption by Christians. Now, 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Nourished up in, or being trained in, as Timothy teaches the brethren God's word, he also instructs himself. Good doctrine helps make a good minister. whereunto thou hast obtained. Which good doctrine you have followed Timothy as faithfully conformed to the truth Paul taught him. Now, you see, Paul was actually Timothy's teacher and helping him to become what God wanted him to be. Now, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, there in 7, we may read the verse, but avoid profane and fabricated myths, and exercise yourselves to be godly. These false doctrines called myths are described as profane because they promote ungodliness, and fabricated because they, like modern day soap operas, are silly and flighty in character. Not only must Timothy avoid false teaching, he must spare himself no pain and effort to be pious. Godliness does not come automatically. To obtain holiness, he must be diligent in prayer, in Bible study, in obedience, in following, in fellowshipping with other believers, and Christian service. You see, there's a whole lot in some of these verses here when we really look at them, and when we know about the Word of God and I don't only teach others, but I teach myself also as we go in these Bible studies. I see things I hadn't seen before, and God speaks to me through His Word, so I learn also. 8. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. The verse may be paraphrased, for physical exercise is of limited value, but godliness the result of spiritual exercise has unlimited value since it brings blessings for both now and eternity. Now, 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This word is, as 9 states here, a faithful saying and worthy of being accepted for your life. Because you see, the Word of God is truth. It was not given by man. Now, yes, men recorded it, but they recorded what the Holy Spirit gave them to write. This word came from Almighty God. Now, 10. Therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Now you see, he's letting us know that therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, or for we both tell and labor to attain this goal. And that is, Paul and associates exercise themselves spiritually to be godly, so they may realize the promise of abundant life and blessing. God is the Savior of all men, in that he has provided salvation for all, but only those that believe are actually saved. You see, you have to be a believer in order to be saved. Now, 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now you know, there's a whole lot that he's telling us there in that verse 12. He's talking about not letting men despise our youth. This Greek word was applied to men 40 years of age and younger to help prevent some from despising their youth. Timothy is to be an example for the believers in the area of word or conversation and conduct, charity, which love for those treating him well and ill. The spirit is proper attitude, and faith we know is trusting in good and bad times and in purity. Purity is sexual purity and integrity of life. That is the meaning of those words in that verse. Let's take a look one more time at the believers in the areas of word conversation. In conversation, we know misconduct. This conduct he's speaking about here, charity, is love for those that are testing him well and ill. In the spirit, proper attitude. In faith, we know, is trusting God in good and bad times, and in purity, sexual purity, and integrity of life. That's a whole lot to get into your life. But it must be brought in. So you need to really get this in your heart and your mind so that you don't walk against any of it. Now 13. till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In this Ephesian ministry, Timothy is to read and teach the scripture and exhort God's people to obey the truth. Learn those truths that he is teaching, that they have learned. 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And he tells us there to neglect not the gift that is in thee. Now, we all that are believers in Jesus and walk in the Word of God, we all have gifts. We are to be using those gifts. And to stop neglecting the spiritual gift which is in you. Evidently, he had not been fulfilling all the responsibility of verse 13. This gift was given Timothy by prophecy, that is, through utterance of some New Testament prophet. The church was informed of the divine enablement granted him, and this was accompanied by the laying on of hands of the church elders in recognition of the fact that God had called Timothy to the ministry and had gifted him for it. Now, 15. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Meditate upon these things, and it could be rendered, take pains with these things and give thyself wholly to them. And that also could be rendered, be completely absorbed in them. Timothy can prevent the neglect of this gift, totally giving himself, carry out the task at hand. He is to do this for the purpose that thy property, spiritual progress, may appear to all. You see, when we all become that child of God, we have a gift of something, each and every one of us. And we are to use that gift. And if we don't, we're going to wind up being told about it and could be corrected, and that being done by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, because in neglecting it, we're neglecting things that God is wanting done. If he had not wanted things done in that area, he would not have gave you that gift. 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. In 16, there is letting us know that we are to take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine of this word. This apostle's doctrine, as the word named it. Because it is given to us by the apostles. They recorded it, but the wording was given to them by the Holy Spirit. But we are to stay in this doctrine. And belong to the Lord's church. Think about it. Now, here in 16, Timothy is to keep constant watch, and he's to take heed over both his own spiritual life, as it stated, thyself, and what he teaches others. This doctrine, he must continue in these two activities, for in doing so he will both save himself from the coming apostasy and also them that hear him. You see, he's not only saving himself, but those that hear him. Now, to the end now of chapter 4. And God willing, this evening at 6 p.m., we will be going in to chapter 5. And we're going to find a lot of things also in chapter 5. Chapter 5 is 25 verses long. A lot of them are short verses, but they have a lot of meaning to them, and a lot of things that we need to get within ourselves. Now, I want you to have a great day today. Spend it with the Lord in prayer and in his word. Be back with us tonight or this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time and back in to the word of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, for those that are part of this ministry and those that listen and studies with us, Father, I'm praying for them. Because, Father, we all need this word. Not only in our minds, but in our lives. And I pray for Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, and Jacob, Billy, and Bobby Johnson. My wife, Father, for Sue Branson, for Daryl and Debbie, for Courtney and Shane, for Chris, Sam and that little family, for James Taylor, and Father. For Alex Stone. And may all walk with you throughout this day, sharing their lives with you, and that they are doing whatever you ask of them to do, Father. Now, Father, pray for Israel and this land of ours. I pray for peace for both. And I pray, Father, that we all in both places will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Messiah. And Father, we know that we need your help through the day to get through. And I pray that those that have brought all this evil upon this land in which I live, Father, that are sitting in office of our government that has brought this evil, will be removed from office and replaced with those that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love the church, your people, and this land, and work with us, Father, put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, keep us all through this day. Be with us. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. Have a good day. Walk with God, and he'll walk with you. Have a good one now, and I pray to see